This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Also, Warriors and Bucks, as we've been talking about tonight at 7, that means Warriors Live, is less than an hour away. It'll be Evan Giddings on the call tonight, hosting, and it's all presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Larry Beal of KGO is going to join us, talk out Warrior basketball and more coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's go to Telmo in the city. Hi, Telmo. Thanks for calling.
What's up? I just called Warriors basketball aside, and just a quick one. If you're gonna take an L, I guess doing it on a day when Minnesota didn't catch up to you is a good day to do it on. So I like that previous caller. It's about the bounce back, and be interesting to see how Kuminga and Jimmy Butler, how that works with Steph out. Specifically to Dibber's claim of Yelp, who Yelps anymore? It's not 2008, Dibs. Nobody's reading your reviews. It's just going into the nether sphere or ether sphere, whatever. I'm sure you know the word. You're very good with words, but go on Google reviews, Dibs. Just get with the times. It's 2025. Your Yelp efforts are being wasted. They're falling on deaf eyes.
Hey, Telmo, let me just say this to you succinctly and clearly. One star. One star, Telmo.
Hey,
catch me on Yelp. Your call will be reviewed, and it will be viewed widely by my, looking at it right now, 897 Yelp followers. They're going to know about this call, Telmo.
Catch me on Yelp is my favorite thing that you've ever said. It's my favorite thing you've ever said on this show. Sorry, Telmo, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you were in my restaurant, Dibs, you know what I'd say to you?
Get out of here! Hey! All right, Telmo, you just got up to 2 stars. Dos estrellas.
Dibs, do you really have 897 followers on your Yelp account?
I do.
Are you kidding me?
What does one get for following?
I didn't even know you could have followers on Yelp.
What you get quality reviews from around the Bay Area. Restaurants, home services, bars, nightlife, and food.
He's not on my list. He never will be.
If you want to know what's going on in the Bay Area, follow me on Yelp. It's Dan Dibley. It's 2007.
How could I not know my favorite guy's name, Anthony?
Oh my God. I'm going to go to bed with Catch Me on Yelp. That is absolutely incredible.
Nightlife?
You made it sound like you're going on IG Live or something.
Dude.
Hey, guys, just wanted to jump on here and tell you about the restaurant down the street. There's a lady cooking in her garage. It's a little dry and salty. Oh, my God.
Are you active on Nextdoor, too?
Oh. Catch me on Yelp. Nah, I don't. Nextdoor is the home of the Karen.
Exactly.
I'm out on Nextdoor.
Nextdoor is next level in terms of annoying. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, Nextdoor is just a big load of people telling you stuff that nobody asked about.
It's just people snitching on each other. There's a dog at 123 Main Street that won't stop barking, and then somebody comments, I know, is it a terrier or is it a shepherd? And someone else, I think it's a sharrier or it's a tepherd. It's like, all of
a great question.
Just mind your business. Nextdoor. There's a mysterious van at 28 Pawtucket Lane. Oh my God. Get a job, Karen.
I love it.
Now Yelp. Useful.
Oh.
It's a useful resource.
Catch me on Yelp.
You won't.
I'll be there live at 8 o'clock tonight.
I don't think I've
done a halftime chat on Yelp.
I'm trying to see my last review. It's been a long time, but
oh my God.
I'm going to start reviewing callers. Two stars for Telmo.
I love people who rip Nextdoor, but then go on Yelp to tell people about the local restaurant and salty food.
At least that's a resource where I've been there, and it's just my review. What am I? I can't be Aiden Vaziri? You don't even know who that is.
I have no clue.
Chronicle Food Writer Hall of Famer.
Okay. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Forget about it.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. 888-957-9570. Larry Beal will be along shortly. We've got one. Speaking of reviews on chefs. Yeah. 925. Mark, can we use that word? Like the sort of the.
What does it start with?
Well, it starts with a P, but it's a word for like urinating. Can I use that word?
You can, but it's frowned upon.
I don't like to use that word. Mark, you blanked in our chef's kitchen.
Oh.
And his beehive is after you. But then says, you are right, though.
Yeah.
See, that's what that...
Well, Lucas, and I actually did a Yelp review of his performance last night.
Yeah.
One star. That was a one-star performance from the chef.
But I agree with you, and I don't even think, like, why is that almost sort of considered offensive? Like, the way you even came in to talk about that today, it was like, well, this will rile people up. Steph was awful last night. And I'm like, of course he was. Why should that rile anybody up? You're not allowed to say that? You're completely allowed to say that. He said that. Did anybody who watched the game last night think Steph Curry played a good basketball game? I can't remember him playing worse. I'm sure he has, but I can't remember it.
Yeah. I was looking at his game log this year, and according to the Basketball Reference game score, which takes all things into account, when he had 56 points, he had a game score of 46.2, which is unbelievably high. And the game last night, there were 8 games listed as worse this year for Steph Curry.
Game score.
Right.
Is this sort of like quarterback rating?
Like, a little
is this
bit like
some
that,
sort
yeah.
of an equation?
Steph was 0-7 against Memphis in a game they lost by 51. Mm-hmm. That's his lowest game score of the year.
Yeah, but that one, they all left. Like, they didn't play in the second half.
He played 24 minutes.
Yeah.
And he didn't make a basket.
I thought last night was just different. Again, I'm sure from an analytics standpoint you could see it differently, but there were just the oddest things. Like, there was one play where he, and it was a big one. This is a fourth quarter. The game was getting close. He brought the ball across half court, and I think it was Jimmy Butler who was on his right. And he sort of picks up his dribble, and Jimmy is no more than 4 feet away from him. And he just turns and just hucks it off of his shin. I'm like, it was like it was supposed to be a bounce pass that you thought Jimmy was going the other way or whatever, and it just got picked up and run the other way and dunked. And it's like, what on earth is happening? And so, look, you can all take this however you want, but I was a little bit, not triggered, that's the wrong way to say it, but when Steve Kerr comes after the game and says, look, he's exhausted, you can see it. I can't, like, argue with that, but by the same token, I'm going to look at that and say, if that's kind of how we're all feeling about Warrior basketball right now, Steph needs to stop. He needs a break. This is too much. It's going to dampen my optimism for where this is going. It's really the only point that I'm making here. It's not
fair.
It's not a Steph needs to play tonight. He's a wimp. I don't know what's going on with his body, but it's hard for me to wrap my head around the Warriors. Are we going to be championship when we're claiming exhaustion on St. Patrick's Day? That's all. It just kind of takes the wind out of your sails a little bit, and the sails were going pretty good.
I do think if they win tonight without him, then the wind goes right back in your sails.
To a degree.
And I also think if they would have won last night, this would have been a much smaller deal. We probably wouldn't have even have mentioned it very much, other than, you know, Steph is, he's going to rest. The back has been acting up, but, you know, maybe they can still beat Milwaukee in a back-to-back. But I get it. He's 37. They beat Denver last night, and so it makes sense that he's going to rest.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Right, like, but that, you can't make your plans based on results.
Sure you can.
You make the plans based on the player is doing.
Hold on. Does a manager sometimes in game seven go, dude, we're pulling you after one inning. We're going to our...
Yeah, but this is not game seven. This is, in a baseball analogy, this is game 122.
Well, it's not game seven. In other words, you're not going home if you lose tonight. But again, I'm using their words right now. This is very, very urgent. If the Warriors are saying we badly want to be outside of the play-in tournament, then I don't know how you can sort of take the tone that you are, which is, hey, there's a lot of time left. Got to see the big picture.
You got,
I don't know,
fifth
man.
Of the season left. But 20%.
But it doesn't matter. The circumstances are what they are. The circumstances need to a degree, dictate your maneuvers. Don't you think?
No, because...
I do.
I mean, if this was... Okay, if you win this game, you're the sixth seed. If you lose, you're the seventh seed. It's game 82 against the Clippers, and it comes down to this. Well, now it's a little bit of a different conversation because you want to avoid the play-in. And then, all right, Steph, I know you're exhausted, but we need you for this one because we really want to beat L.A. and we want to be the sixth seed. That's different than you still have 15 games left to go, and that's a lot of games. That's 20% of the season, basically.
I know, but Steve Kerr has admitted to us, scoreboard watching, we went through Minnesota's schedule. There's just not that many hard games on it. You want to be out of the play-in tournament. These games are all huge. Joining us to chat it out, River Island's guest line is our good friend Larry Beal, KGO. And we haven't talked to him in a while. Hey, Larry, how you been?
Aloha. It's been a while. I was listening to you guys while I was driving into the city to go to work. A spirited debate about last night's game. I just want to pose, you know, one hypothetical for you. Because everybody's freaking out because the Nuggets were so depleted with the Joker not playing and Jamal Murray not playing and Christian Brown not playing. If the Nuggets were at full strength and the Warriors lost the game, would you feel differently? Because obviously their effort wasn't there and their execution was even worse. So would you look at the whole situation differently? Because obviously they struggled with the Nuggets in the past.
Maybe to a degree, but the whole thing, this is for me, like last night was just a sloppy game. And I think you could burn the tape on that. I was sort of more focused on what was said after the game, which is you have that kind of bad effort, you lose a huge opportunity, and now you're bringing into conversation the idea that Steph Curry is exhausted and might need some time off.
Right.
To me, it's that combo that's the concern, not just the game itself. Dibs, I don't know how you'd answer that.
It's a little bit of the combo, but for me, it's more just the way they looked and the way Steph looked, because this is where the debates come from, Larry, because I could see where he looked exhausted. And his last five games, all at home, have been less than what we've seen when Jimmy had joined the team.
Yeah, no, I agree totally with you. And obviously, if you go back to the start of the season, and I don't remember if it was the preseason game where he was reaching in on a drive and messed up his thumb, like that's been an ongoing issue for months. And obviously he had the problems with both of his knees. And now you could see toward the end of the game that we had on the air Saturday night, he was obviously favoring his side or oblique or his back. It's hard to tell what it is. So he's not right. He's not 100%. To me, the question is, you got to win as many games as you can down the stretch. You got Milwaukee tonight. If you rest Steph, you have a chance to have him healthier for the rest of the schedule. If you just keep running him into the ground game after game because we got to win, then you're going to get an exhausted Steph Curry going into the playoffs, and that's not ideal either. So, I mean, you got to pick your poison in this case.
Larry Beal with us, and I'm looking at your last tweet of the night when watching that game, and here it is. Atrocious effort and decision-making, losing to a severely shorthanded Nuggets team.
Well, here's the thing. This drives me insane, and I talked to Steve about it, Kerr. That hook pass that Steph loves to throw, remove that from the arsenal, please. I mean, they were so careless with the ball. Not only that, I mean, while they were flinging the ball down the court and there's two Nuggets waiting to intercept it, the Warriors weren't getting back at all. I mean, it was like a layup line at the other end. And you can't have both of those things. You shouldn't have either of those things happening, but you certainly can't have both. And one of the things that we've noticed here, even during the winning streak, is, for a while it was 12 turnovers a game, and that's really their target. And then it started to tick up to 14, 15, and then we're getting to 17, 18, and last night was 20. We're clearly trending in the wrong direction. And I think, human nature leads to complacency because you think we got it rolling, everybody's feeling good, and Jimmy's here and all that. And you take your eye off the ball for a game, and hopefully it's only a game, and they can get back on track. But I don't know if you've noticed this, Mark. Jimmy Butler, the past couple of games, to me, looks like he's trying to distribute the ball more than score.
Yes.
Like he's in the lane, and he can do whatever he wants, and he'll pass to the corner, and maybe if it's QP that hits a three or whatever, I want him to score.
Yeah.
And that has to happen tonight. That has to be, in my opinion, because I'm undefeated at coaching in the NBA, as you guys know. 0-0. Jimmy has to be offensive-minded tonight. That's my personal feeling.
Yeah, I felt like last night was closer to what you're talking about with the 16 shot attempts, and he had 23, and part of that was born out of the fact that they weren't making their threes. But I look at tonight, Larry, and I see Giannis and in a different stature Dame Lillard, and I wonder about a Warrior team that couldn't guard anybody last night and really struggled on the glass. And it seemed like last night, beyond Steph looking tired, and you mentioned it, the careless turnovers with 20 in totality, felt like last night the Warriors got exposed with a couple of their weaknesses that are mostly permanent.
Yeah, I mean, size is always going to be an issue, and Steve believes that their best lineup is small. And so unless you can figure out how to manage that, I mean, Aaron Gordon was an absolute beast last night. I mean, 38 points. And it wasn't like it was all inside. He's shooting threes from all over the place. And, Michael Porter Jr. is capable of getting hot. One of the things that people forget, and I know, everybody's, Warrior bashing and what's going on, and, it's like panic time, all that stuff. One of the things that you got to remember is that the guys that are sitting at the end of the bench, let's say, you got 15 slots, 13, 14, 15. We look at them and like, well, they're not necessarily relevant to what's going to decide the outcome of a game. Any one of those dudes, they probably were the best player on their college team. Any one of them could walk out onto any court in the G League and probably get 40 if they wanted to. So it's not like it's just like a bunch of scrubs that are sitting there. These guys are hungry because they don't get a chance to play because they're behind Jokic and Murray and all that. So these guys are, they're out for blood. And they got it. And I think, the Warriors were like, this is going to be, no joker. We're going to win this game. We're rolling. And then you get caught up you know, and suddenly you're in a fight that you're desperate to try to win. And the, you know, the one, since we're talking about these turnovers and all this stuff, it drives me nuts. I have a phrase, by the way, when they turn the ball over, that our whole sports department, they copy me all the time. I'm not going to say it out loud, but I was screaming at the TV last night. The end of the game, it's like 2 minutes left, something like that. Steph has a fast break. He's going right down the lane. And instead of just floating it up with a teardrop, he tries to lob to Kuminga, who's not really expecting it, and the ball goes sailing out of bounds. And Steve spent half the night saying, we don't need home run plays. We don't need home run plays. Just make the simple pass or shoot a layup. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it just gets, you know, it's perplexing. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, weird basketball game for sure, all the way around. Larry Beal, KGO with us here, Willard and Dibs. Glad to have him along here on the River Islands guest line. As we continue the conversation, we also have this breaking news. Brandon Pajemski is in officially tonight and in the starting lineup. So he goes right back into that spot, especially with Steph Curry out tonight. Larry, what's your take on the Warriors' ability to sort of maneuver in the playoffs if it's out of the play-in tournament? How urgent is it for them to stay away from that tournament?
Very, 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 very urgent.
Yeah.
A lot of varies right there.
Yeah. But I think it also depends on who you match up against. Like, if they could lock down the sixth seed, and here's the crazy thing, and you guys were talking about it this afternoon, is, you know, if you lose tonight, you can drop to eight. Anybody, the swings are crazy. If the Rockets were to finish third and the Warriors were to finish sixth, I think Golden State would be very happy with that matchup, because the Rockets haven't been in this situation since the Harden era. None of those players that are on the team currently have dealt with any kind of playoff pressure. So if you, you know, you say 3-6, you know, I'll take the sixth seed right now. It gets a little bit more complicated and problematic if the Nuggets are the three and nobody knows where anybody's going to end up. Who knows? I mean, the Clippers could go on a late run and climb up the standings. The West is just, it's a minefield to try to navigate.
And I do think that avoiding the play-in would give you the one thing that you need the most, and that's rest. And that's where, you know, Steph tonight, how bad the back is, hopefully not that bad, but he needs a little bit of rest. And you're getting into the dog days of the season and all that. But if they get a top six and they avoid the play-in, Larry, no matter who they go up against, and Mark and I both were saying Lakers and Denver, nobody wants OKC and the rest of it. Do you think that this team has a live chance at maybe doing something, winning a round or maybe two or more?
Yes, absolutely. And I obviously didn't feel that way pre-Jimmy Butler arriving with the team. I think they could make it to the Western Conference Finals if they are healthy, if Kuminga comes along. And you know, they get favorable matchups, certainly. I mean, that's kind of what happened in 22. But, you know, as you guys know, the Warriors were extremely well-rested going into that playoff run because they had a bunch of guys hurt. Like, Steph missed the last month of the season, so they were fresh. Now it feels like these guys are all on fumes, and I'm not sure whether they can kind of get gas back up again in time for a deep postseason run. I think they have the potential. The one thing I do like about J.K., even though he's missed so many games, and I know Mark is fanatical about him finishing through contact, and I'm also screaming at the TV about that, but he has learned, I believe, along with Moody, they've watched Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a foul drawing master. Even when he has like no reasonable shot at making a basket, he is able to somehow get his arms tangled up or throw his shoulder into a guy, and the next thing he's shooting two free throws. Moody is doing more of that now. J.K. is doing a little more of that now. And if Kuminga can really come on and get comfortable, I think they have a chance. I don't see this as a championship team. I still think they need at least another piece. But, you know, I don't think anybody wants to face this team in a best-of-seven series. I mean, they're just too scary. If Steph goes on a heater, you're in Cancun next week.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair take, but an interesting comment that they're still a piece away. How do they get that piece with the clock ticking as quickly as it is?
It ain't going to happen this year. I mean, I think you have to look at this as it's a three-year project or two-and-a-half-year project because Steph is under contract for the next 2 years. Obviously, they brought Butler in assuming that, you know, he's going to be there. You've got Steph, obviously, Draymond, and the others, the younger players. They need to add, to me, I would like to see, well, you know, it's like fantasy land here, another guard who can score, and that's why the DeAnthony Melton injury earlier in the season just crushed them.
Yep.
Because he was perfect for what they do. And I would like, I know, and I've like been saying this for 10 years already, a big guy, a big, you know, like a physical big. I love Quentin Post. I mean, he's been a revelation. The fact that they drafted him at 52 and he's been this productive, nobody could have predicted that. But I would just like, you know, like the grit, the muscle, like a taller version of Draymond, if you will, without the extracurriculars. Just, I mean, even somebody like, you're not going to get OG Anunoby, but somebody like that, a physical presence that can get rebounds when you need it and can score inside and, you know, on and on and on. But I don't see that as being feasible in the next few weeks. You're just going to have to ride with what you got. And what they're riding with right now is pretty good. I mean, you know, we have to keep it in perspective. We tend to just go bananas when they lose. But, you know, realistically, you know, they're not going to run the table. We'll see what they do tonight. I don't know. I don't know who's guarding Giannis. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and I do think that last night kind of shined a light for me anyway on that, where you got out-rebounded by 15 and you had trouble guarding Gordon and Porter Jr. and the rest of them. But you're right, Larry. I mean, tonight's just one game. It feels like there's increased urgency with each and every game as we get further down the road. But I do think that one piece might be Jonathan Kuminga. What have you made of his, not a meteoric ascent since returning from the injury, but just how you've seen him bouncing back from the ankle after missing more than 2 months?
I would not have imagined, just by watching him in the past couple of games, that he was out 2 months because of the ankle. To me, he looks very smooth and comfortable. And, you know, the one move that he has, he really needs to develop more in terms of his offensive arsenal, because we know he can jump out of the gym and he's a freakish athlete. He's got that one move in the lane where he turns and fades and fires, and he's pretty effective at that, but he needs to be able to do more and just be more crafty finishing around the basket a little bit more. And if he was able to do that, you know, and also, his three-point shot has not been there since he's come back. That's going to take some time. He's got to get – look, you can go out and play 20 minutes. That doesn't mean you're really in NBA shape. So he's got to get a little bit more run. But I agree with you. Kuminga is the giant X factor. If he plays well down these last 15 and they go into the playoffs with some steam, again, nobody wants to see this team in a first-round matchup.
Larry, you expect him to still go out there and win tonight?
It would not surprise me because it just, you know, two nights ago, Jordan Poole hit this like 35-footer to beat the Nuggets. And you're looking at it like, the Wizards beat the Nuggets? What? And, you know, it's the same thing. It's human nature. Complacency sets in. Oh, no Steph Curry. Well, we're going to win tonight. Maybe that's what the Bucks are thinking. I guarantee you that Doc Rivers is right now saying, just because Steph is not playing, don't think this is an automatic win. Because that's just human nature. So it would not shock me. I mean, they're going to have to build a wall to try to, you know, prevent Giannis from just, you know, going for 40 or something like that. And Dame is Dame. But, you know, this is not the Bucks championship team from a few seasons ago. And, you know, they're gettable, but part of it depends on, you know, how do the Warriors come out? Do they come out and is Jimmy Butler looking to attack? And same with Moody and these other guys, knowing that you're without your star player. To me, last night, I would hope, would be a wake-up call for them to go, we got to bring it and stop with the ridiculous, you know, Purdy-like touchdown passes that keep getting intercepted.
Too soon, Larry, too soon.
Wow, caught astray out there, Brock Purdy. By the way, before you go, you want to weigh in on Niners free agency?
Oh, geez.
Perfect. Yeah.
And that was not a bash at Brock Purdy. I'm just saying you don't have to chuck the ball all the way down to the other end of the court all the time.
Yeah.
And we can some other time we'll talk about free agents or lack thereof. To be honest, most of the guys they let go, I wouldn't be that concerned about.
Yeah.
Greenlaw chills me. Mason, I don't understand at all. So I'm going to be very curious to see what Kyle and John have to say coming up towards the draft.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? Larry, great to have you on, man. Thank you.
Yeah. See you soon. I'll see you at Chase.
Absolutely. Yep. Larry Beal, KGO, obviously on there after certain Warrior games when in a situation like on ABC. Great to have Larry Beal's perspective on this whole thing. You were shaking your head a minute ago. What are you shaking your head at?
Oh, just, I mean, mainly this play-in game.
Oh, you're looking at the St. Francis-Alabama State game.
It's barn burner, but just kind of shaking my head, too, about the Warriors, and I do think that last night, small sample, 1 of 82, but what I saw was something that I think is a problem that can't be fixed, and you were asking him about, you know, what do they need, and yeah, what they need they can't have, which is a 6'10" guy who can jump, rebound, defend, rim run, and block a shot. And I saw last night where I love Kevon, we all do, but at 6'8 or 6'9", and a guy who doesn't really jump that well, when you get into an athletic team like Denver, the Warriors got dominated on the glass last night.
No doubt. I mean, games like that are going to happen. I get a little curious sometimes why Warrior fans consistently seem to say, size, we don't have size, athleticism, we don't have that guy, we've always needed that guy, and it's like, but you're in the middle of a dynasty. Like, you've won a bunch of titles with no one bigger, taller, or more athletic, and you've gone against a lot of these guys. I understand now Steph's 37 and Draymond's 35, and now you're injecting Jimmy Butler into this whole thing. I just think, I don't know, man. Like, I go more to the whole make or miss thing. I honestly think that's it. You know, you win that game last night if you could just hit a damn shot from the outside, but nobody
or a free
could,
throw, yeah.
Nobody could hit a shot. And more often than not, the last month or so, those guys have been hitting. They've all been, quote, unlocked since Jimmy Butler joined, right? So, I don't know. That's why I guess when we got to the end of this whole thing, I got a little bit more, not put off, but I was a little bit more intrigued by what they were saying and planning after the game as opposed to what happened during the game. I found the game very frustrating, but not indicative of some larger point that's coming. To me, the larger point is still they're 14-2 with Jimmy Butler, which means they're really good.
Really good, and I don't want to play the schedule game and look at who they've beaten because the schedule hasn't been that rugged as far as teams that you've beaten, but you only can play the teams that are on your schedule, and I get that. And so I'm not going to diminish winning 14 of 16 against other professional basketball players. That counts, and that's a real deal. I did look at yesterday both ways that you just described. Yes, it was very frustrating, but I also think it exposes areas where they are going to have a hard time against bigger, longer athletic front courts. They didn't even have Jokic, who we know can get 20 rebounds in a game. He had the most profound triple-double in history. Westbrook athletically is a problem, and then Porter Jr. at 6'10 or 6'11 and Aaron Gordon. These guys were just having their way on the glass offensively, and I do think that that's a problem that is unfixable.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, Mark. We're partners. We're friends.
Is at Houston a tough game? At Houston?
Yeah, especially in that spot where they played that game, what, 20 hours after they lost at Dallas?
Is at Milwaukee a tough game?
At Milwaukee.
Is that a tough game?
Was it tough? Was that one that they didn't have Giannis?
Yeah, but just work with me on this.
I'm with you, but I mean, it's less tough when you don't have Giannis.
Is at Sacramento a tough game?
No.
No.
No, I mean, it's not a tough game.
I mean, historically.
That's a game you should win.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're better than Sacramento.
Right, but this is the NBA, and going on the road is difficult. You should look at some of the really good teams in the league and see what their road record is, barely over 500.
What's the Warriors?
Is at New York. Is that a tough game?
Normally, but they were missing Jalen Brunson.
So interesting that we do that.
Well, we do it because that's context, right?
Right, but it's like, to me, it is not nearly as definitive as we make it. And the examples are freaking all over the place.
Well, last night's
24 hours ago.
Yep, good call.
Like, teams that are missing a player does not suddenly mean they're a crappy team. At New York is hard. Is Detroit
it's hard.
Good?
At
is Detroit
New York
good?
Is hard.
Is Detroit a good team?
Detroit's good, yeah.
Okay. And then is New York again a good team?
You got like, them coming up, right?
Well, no, they were just here last weekend. Is at Orlando, at least on some level, a little challenging?
I mean, it's a road
game. Orlando.
So, and, I mean, Orlando's, they're fine.
Okay.
Yeah, Banchero's a good player. And again, it's an example of another player that you have a really difficult time with.
I'm not here to make the point that since Jimmy Butler has arrived, that the Warriors have been through some murderer's row of a schedule. But I am here to make the point that I get very tired of hearing people, oh, I didn't play anybody. Like, I can debunk it in two different ways. First of all, 14-2 is 14-2.
That's what I said.
I don't care who,
yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I don't care who the hell you played. But I would argue they did play some really good teams. No, they didn't beat Cleveland and Oklahoma City.
No,
they did not. But this was not just some run of a bunch of Charlottes and New Orleanses. Like, it wasn't that. There's been some challenging stuff. There was a five-game road trip. There was returning from a five-game road trip to get Detroit handed to you in your lap where you trailed most of the way. Do the Warriors have some accomplishment wins during this run?
They do, and they also have some cupcakes. You had...
Well, yeah.
I mean... You had Portland.
Every 16-game run got some cupcakes, yeah. And I'd argue that Portland's not a cupcake anymore, by the way.
You had Charlotte twice.
That's a cupcake.
Okay. I mean, Portland is not a very, very difficult team, and you talked about it at home, which, you know, teams are better at home than they are on the road. Sacramento, miss me with Sacramento, is a tough game right now. I think that team is, they're mostly broken, and... You know, all you have to do is look at their situation since the firing of their head coach. Yeah. They have not been the same. They traded a star.
Correct.
They acquired Zach LaVine, of all people.
Still a winning team who will be in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's a win.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not like a signature win. And tonight against Milwaukee, and they have Lillard and Giannis both in the lineup, and you don't have Steph Curry, you win this game.
Sure.
That's impressive. If you go out and you beat Milwaukee.
I agree. Again, not making the case that since Jimmy has arrived, it's been some amazing schedule.
Yeah.
I think it gets overstated that it was Cupcake City the whole time.
Agreed.
I don't think it was.
But I do think as we look between now and the end of the year, there are litmus test games that are still to come. Milwaukee tonight is one of those games.
No doubt.
You don't have Steph. That's tough.
No doubt.
You go to Memphis, to the Lakers, Denver, and Houston, four games in a row.
Yep.
So if we want to talk about how real this is, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, that is four games and six nights again. Here we go.
Which apparently is terrifying.
Yeah, well, and this one is in three different cities.
Whoa.
So
I don't even think they should send Steph.
They're probably resting for
that
one of those.
That sounds way too hard.
I mean, you've got...
four games in six nights. Who would do such a thing?
Thursday, April 3rd at L.A. against the Lakers. They sit LeBron, Luka, Steph, and Jimmy. You just run out the second string for TNT. There you go, NBA.
By the way, it's, let's see, yeah, day off, yeah. Yeah, four games in six nights.
Yeah.
It's like a normal NBA week.
It is.
Yeah.
But I do think that this one comes, and this is actually five games in eight nights by the time you get to Thursday, and... I know.
Yeah.
And again, we can go back to the good old days when, you know, Michael Jordan played 40 minutes a night, and famously, Wilt Chamberlain averaged 48.5 minutes a game for a season. He played every minute of every game except one time.
It's a pretty normal cadence. One week you get three games, the next week you get four. Then you get three, then you get four.
Right.
Not always. It's a pretty normal cadence. So I just don't think that when you get four in six nights, that's I mean, that happens every other week.
Yeah, to every team.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Let's go to Doug in Berkeley. Hi, Doug. We appreciate your call. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm really glad you got me on. Thank you very much. So a couple of things come to mind. A lot of them, you know, were discussed with Larry. But you know how our subs, you know, it's talked about all the time. Our subs are really good. You know, they're outscoring the subs on the other team. The part of my comment is with the retrospectoscope. You know, it would have been nice to rest Steph last night since they're resting two of their big guys. But do you notice that, you know, in games when we're behind and, you know, Steph's out and sometimes Draymond's out, and our subs do a good job very often of bringing us back. Why don't we sometimes pay more attention to that, because we're always touting their stats, and let them continue a little bit longer rather than bringing Steph, who's, when he's tired, he's a turnover machine, and he always, as great as he's been, he always makes those, you know, few crazy unforced turnovers. And Draymond trying to nail the ball down and tight, which Rick Barry says, if there's nobody down there, just because you can get it in there and he can't do anything with it when he gets it, don't do it. Why don't we leave these really good subs who've shown a lot of stuff this year, why don't we leave them in a little bit longer?
Thank you for the call. It's a really question. But I would say this. Like, there's a reason for all NBA teams that the rotation goes the way that it does. And the subs, just because they come in and have a good burst, I think analytics would tell you that's not going to last. The longer, it's like going to Vegas, right? If I stay for 8 days and I come out hot for the first 2 days, what are my chances if I stay for six more days that the cards and the dice are going to keep going my way? Not real good.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way about subs. And so, you know, the other thing is about subs, when they go in, they're usually playing against other subs. And so you leave the subs in, and now Giannis and Lillard get entered back into the game. How are we going to be doing? So, sure, there's a little bit of a predictive element there that's difficult. But in general, there's a reason that the rotation goes the way it does, because that's your best chance for it to work.
And if the subs stayed in longer, and sometimes Steve will do that, like if a unit is coming in and playing great, they'll get them a little bit of an extra time. But if it starts to go south, everyone's going to be clamoring for, why didn't you bring the starters back in sooner?
Yeah, exactly. Of course. Look, more time for your calls. We're getting ready for Warriors Live, 888-957-9570. Your concerns about last night's game or the fact that Steph is resting tonight. And do we get to do the YouTube thing here again in the break? All right. Get over to YouTube, and we'll do the YouTube special show and talk directly to you and answer your questions if you get there right now during the break. But more coming up on Willard and Dibbs.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Oh, that's kind of harsh, Steve.
That one hurt.
First of all, he's exhausted. You could see by looking at him.
Yeah.
He needs a night. He needs a night. He's tired. He's been carrying me for about a week and a half now with all of his March Madness selections. So let's tap it down. But that said, Alabama State minus 3.5. That's going to be an L for you, dog.
It's an L.
That's an L.
Yeah.
But they won.
They did.
They won at the buzzer.
And
by 2.
It was a bit of a stretch because my mathematical system had them winning by exactly 2. And so you make a play. And obviously I should have gone the other way. But, you know, 3.5, favored by 2. Buzzer beater scenario hurts you, but that game was...
Wait a minute. I looked down and I read something. And I looked up and y'all had your arms up in the air. Why?
What? If your mathematical system said Alabama State by 2 points, but the spread was 3.5, doesn't that mean the play is St. Francis plus the points?
That
is
could be.
That's worth a question.
Yeah. I mean...
Like, what, did you make a clerical error or something?
No. We made an editorial decision to go with the SWAC.
But you faded yourself.
Yeah, a little bit. Early fade. These are like, this is the test before Thursday.
Fade. You're supposed to ride the Dibbers. It's March.
Yeah, we're there.
Don't fade yourself.
Well, this was just a tester game.
You've been hot.
Staying hot,
you
too.
You didn't do that with the next game, did you? Because I followed you.
Oh, no. No, that's
San Diego State plus 5. I'm all over it.
What's your system have for that one, Dibs?
It's a pick 'em, Lucas.
Not a babe.
Okay.
A
I mean, let's go Aztecs.
I can't believe that it's the not spread butter? Continues to climb. That thing opened it 2.5. Everybody's on Carolina.
Where is it? No, it's at 4.5 now. I got it at 5, though.
Right, but
that's the parlay tonight, by the way. Warriors and Aztecs plus the points. On both of them.
And if you're into...
That's your parlay tonight. That's from me.
Aztec's kind of like a Warrior, too. How about that?
Not bad.
Okay.
And the total at 142.5, it's an underplay. For those of you interested in totals, San Diego State is number 1 in the country.
They're very good defensive team.
In field goal percentage against.
Good defensive team.
Number 1.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're...
And they play it slow.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's kind of been a hallmark of their program.
Yep.
Under Dutch. Really, really good defense.
I love it. You're so knowledgeable.
Oh, I know my college hoops.
It's so funny.
Has nothing to do with the fact that I used to work for the radio home of the Aztecs. Has nothing to do with that at all. Thank you. Lock it in. Alabama State has punched their ticket. They're going dancing. And hopefully San Diego State is next.
Alabama State taking on Auburn.
I'll take Auburn on the money line.
Well, yeah, let me just quick glance. Man,
bet Auburn on the money
line. Congrats on your 80 cents
that's right.
That you'll make.
No,
rivalry
game? I'm going to bet like $5,000. So we'll make $10.
I wonder what that's going to open at.
Yeah.
Probably going to be 26, I would guess. That number when it opens?
Yeah. No, I'm just I'm going money line. Auburn's going to win that game. I feel it.
Strong.
I do. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here in just a sec and get a few more of you on before we hand it over to E-Dog and Warriors Live. It's also time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors, well, yep, they didn't shoot the ball too well last night. So they just made 8 threes, which means they just missed another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. But Pettinelli's already made 44 donations this season for Triples for Autism. They're going for 45 tonight, and they're going to get it. I'll say it right now. They're going to get it when the Warriors host Giannis and the Bucks. It's another reason why it stinks when the Warriors clank all their shots. Like, Autism Society San Francisco suffers. They lose when the Warriors shoot the ball like that. So stop doing that.
Yeah.
That's brutal. You can make up for it, though. You can make a donation yourself and get involved. SFAutismSociety.org. That's Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. 415, hey Dibs, your system sucks.
Yeah. I mean, nobody asked you 415. We'll see. Last year I went to Vegas and bet all 32 games, and I think I was like 21-11. Cleaned up last year.
How much, when you do that, how much do you put on each game?
Usually, and I actually...
Just be real with me. Keep it real.
Usually man. The baseline is 20 or 25 a game.
Per game.
Yes. I was reading something about a bankroll. And if your bankroll is $1,000,
yeah,
and that's roughly my bankroll, they advise that you, I think your base should be 5% of your bankroll or even less than that,
okay,
on each game. If you want to like sustain your bankroll.
$25 per game at 32 games, that's $800.
Right. Right.
Okay. But
there were games
21-11.
Right, and there are other games when the wager is slightly bigger, and there are also games where we live bet it.
Okay, so
one thing
what
that
is.
It is a
fluctuation.
Oh, it's an inebriation sensation.
No, I was going with a fluctuation sensation. So,
also, if we're being fair to Dib's system, his system was right. Actually, it was perfect.
Yeah,
right.
So
right.
Far, 1-0.
Hey,
it
Dibs.
It was human error. Yeah, I stink. The system is locked in.
That's
one
right.
Thing that I do like to do.
Your decision stinks.
For example, Auburn and Alabama State, who yeah. We just saw, yeah. Auburn likely will be favored by 28.
Okay.
So if after 8 minutes of basketball, if Auburn's only up by 1 or 2, let's say it's 14-12, in the under 12-minute timeout,
right.
The live line will probably dip to like 21 or 20. So if you firmly believe that Auburn's 30 points better than Alabama State, you bet it live and you're only laying the 20.
Life advice from Dan Dibley of 95.7 The Game.
So sometimes you see a favorite off to a slow start. If you still believe that the favorite is better than the underdog, you live bet that thing.
Also, it is a rivalry game. Montgomery, which is where Alabama State in
yeah,
Alabama,
yeah.
Is only an hour's drive from Auburn, Alabama.
Now, you throw the records out yeah. When Auburn plays Alabama State.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you.
You do.
All right, let's go to Patrick in South City. Hi, Patrick. What are you doing?
Guys, how you doing today?
What's up?
Hey, you know, do you remember last year when, you know, you could say we lost 5-6 games because of, you know, Kerr made some bad decisions and he even acknowledged it himself. What I saw last night was he just, I think Steve Kerr outcoached himself last night. I'm going to tell you why. First of all, he should have played Trace most of the game because he's our most athletic center. And I think he would have played Aaron Gordon a lot better than either Looney or Post. That's number one. Number two, for better or for worse, Buddy Hield is on our team, and he's a proven great shooter. Of course, he's sporadic, but not to have him help out Steph the last 5 minutes of the game. And you guys know he gets a little streaky. When he hits one or two, he might hit three or a fourth one, you know?
Sure.
So for better or for worse, if that's our second best shooter on the team, you got to have that guy in the game helping Steph shoot when Steph is having a bad night.
Patrick, I get it. I just think it's a tough take. Like, Buddy Hield last night scored 0 points. It's really hard to suddenly trust him at the end of the game. He also made some poor decisions. He made Jimmy Butler go crazy last night. There was an animated conversation And as far as Steve Kerr's decisions last night, I mean, you could take issue with whatever you want, but when the boys are out there throwing the ball around like they did, I'm not pointing at Steve Kerr. I'm pointing at the professional basketball players who were throwing balls at each other's shoes all night.
Yeah.
That's all.
And you saw Steve react at the end of the first quarter. He pulled the coaches all aside, and he basically was like trying to rev them up to get the team to focus, and they never got the message.
Totally. Yeah. All right. Here comes Warriors Live. Evan Gidding standing by. Dubs and Bucks. Let's do this thing. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. One more. I'll give you one more.
One more time.
I'll give you one more.
One more time. Okay. Here we go, everybody. For Dibs, for Grady, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.